www.voiceamerica.com.
All hell is broken loose in the UK. In the meantime, here at home, Republicans hold off the Democrats in the Wisconsin recall election. So the Democrats didn't get control of the state Senate. A lot of people thought that this was the Tea Party's trial by fire. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Welcome to it. We're going to zig and zag all over the place. That's what we do here on this overnight highway. We like to call it water cooler buzz. You're always invited to throw in your two cents. Most of the buzz in your backyard has to do with what's in your wallet. I say it all the time. And can you blame anyone when they're struggling to put kids through college or to get a second job, just to make ends meet, keep ahead of food prices that are soaring? I don't know if you've gone to the grocery store lately. I'm assuming you have, unless you have stocked up all kinds of food in a refrigerator in your basement, one of those freezers. I know some people that actually do that. And then you've got enough stuff to live on for months, so you haven't been there in a while. But it's pretty tough to get away with just a handful of things without spending at least $100. And you'd be surprised how far $100 doesn't go these days. So gasoline prices might have fallen back a little bit, but certainly food prices have not. And I think it's going to continue to get worse. People are concerned about what's happened with the ratings because of how it turned Wall Street on its ear on Monday, and then there was a bounce back on Tuesday, if you haven't heard that, up over 400 points. So that was a sigh of relief, because it's not just the rich guys that are plugging their money into Wall Street. It's the everyday Joes. A lot of people have 401ks that are tied to stocks, a basket of stocks. So you have to get that out of your head if you don't have any money in the market and it sounds all confusing to you because you don't have a 401k. Keep that in mind, that it's the blue-collar worker, too, that is relying on Wall Street for some of the return on the investment. That's why people have run to gold, because of what's happened now with the dollar and how we're printing it like madmen. And what is it even worth? You know that old saying about it's not worth the paper it's printed on. You could apply that to the dollar. So gold shortly, I'm sure, will be $2,000 an ounce. Before we get to all of that stuff, which we will, a quick note about the brave men who were on that Chinook helicopter that went down in eastern Afghanistan early on Saturday morning. The Pentagon has officially opened up their crash investigation. In the meantime, the remains of those soldiers taken back to Dover Air Force Base. The president was there to meet the families, to pay respects, to go on both planes where the transportation was happening. And now it's probably going to take another couple of days through DNA and other things, but really DNA, to identify the remains. It was such a bad crash that they took everything and everyone from, you know, everything from the site that they could get from the site and took it back to the United States, including the Afghanistan folks who were there, some of the interpreters and whatnot, who were part of the crew in that helicopter. So that certainly is very, very sad. Let's move to Al right at the top. We've got our go-to guy. He's our leadoff man. Hey, Al, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Kate. You know, the Taliban are using George Washington tactics, and the USA and Canada and the other NATO forces are the redcoats. Well, we're acting like a bunch of bloody redcoats over there. They're using guerrilla tactics, right?
Yeah.
And we're marching around like a bunch of the redcoats, and George Washington defeated the redcoats. We've got to start fighting like, if we're going to stay in that godforsaken country, we've got to start fighting like guerrillas. Don't you think?
I think in some ways they're already trying to do that. It's part of this diplomacy thing. I understand what you're saying about the redcoats, because it definitely does feel like that when you know that going into some of these villages, there's snipers that are trained right on the, you know, their sights are right on the backs of our guys that are going in there. But I think there is some other things that are happening. But part of the problem is, Al, as you know, remember what happened with the drones, and then some of the drones, there were civilian casualties, and Hamid Karzai and the whole world went crazy about that. So then it became, you have to be careful about some of these drones. But the best time to do the ops is really when it's dark.
Yeah, well, during the Second World War, when they bombed Cologne and Dresden in Germany, I don't think Roosevelt and Truman and Churchill worried about civilian casualties. You can't win a war if you're going to worry about. And you know that stupid rocket-propelled mortar? It was a homemade rocket-propelled mortar or grenade that took down those 30 Navy SEALs, right?
And yes.
And what kind of knucklehead would put 30 of your best fighters on the same bloody aircraft? Don't you think that's a stupid thing?
Oh, yeah. See, that's the first thing I said. Why would all 30 of them be there? But I was told that was a standard thing, that they jumped on, and they were going to go help this unit that was stuck, that was under heavy fire, some Army Rangers, and that's what they would do. That's the mode of transportation if you were going to move all those guys. So then I asked the same question you did, Al. Why wouldn't you split them up? Why would you have all of them together?
And that cotton picking homemade rocket propelled mortar that the Taliban used, I heard a guy say that it's kind of ironic because the dumber they are, the harder they are to stop. In other words, if they'd have used computers and laser beams and all kinds of fancy electronic equipment they could have honed in on it and found it, but because it's homemade, they have no way, our fancy electronic equipment has no way of picking up because it's so primitive. It's the dumber they are, the harder they are to stop. That sounds like liberals and socialists to me.
What a good way to end
this
call.
Can I make a quick comment about the riot in London?
Yes.
Are you still there? Yeah. Our cotton picking PBS North up here. I was watching PBS North, Canadian PBS, and if you watch that, you would think that all of the victims of this rioting were black and all of the rioters were white. They only showed white rioters, and they only showed black victims. And a friend of mine watched about an hour uncensored. If you watch the news, raw and uncensored video of it, and he said what he saw, 95% of the rioters were black. I don't watch television, so I don't know. But that's what he said. He watched somewhere he found a raw, uncensored video of the film, and most of the rioters were black.
I've seen it. I would disagree. I think it was a mixed group because what you have is gang members. These are gang people. So there are black gang members. There are white gang members. There are other cultures, ethnicities that are part of that. So I disagree with him.
But to the point
that what you're saying is that the rioting, thanks, Al, is out of control in London, and it is gangs. That's what it is. It's not a black-white thing. It's a gang thing because a gang member was allegedly, killed by a police officer 4 or 5 days ago. And when that happened over the weekend, that set this firestorm off, and they're setting fires wherever they feel like it. They're smashing cars. They're grabbing stuff from people's houses, from stores. They're looting. It is crazy, unbelievable, out of control. It looks like a movie. And when you see footage of it, it's awful. I saw one slice of film, and there was a white gang member. There was a black gang member. And they just started picking on this kid who was scared to death, sitting there with his backpack on, and they took the stuff out of his backpack, picked him up, and he scurried away. Awful. We'll talk about that and some other things next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one Safol natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer. Buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans, Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free Special. Or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spelled DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
So here we are meeting at the crossroads once again on ATN and talking about London. An interesting thing has happened. You know, I always say that there's power in numbers, power to the people. And if you don't like what's happening, you have to fight back. When I'm talking about Washington, well, in London, they are fighting back in their own way because this rioting is beyond scary. Four nights of this stuff. So there was kind of a grassroots thing going on to stop the looters. Check this out. Remember, in England, there are no guns, or they're not supposed to be unless you illegally get yourself a gun. So how do you stop? What do you do if somebody's coming after you and they're trying to attack you? And what's happened is the people have decided, okay, so if we've got a gang of 60 or so who are setting fire to buses and they're smashing store windows, then we're going to do something about it. In one of the suburbs, a suburb called Dalston, it had about 150 mostly Turkish restaurants and store staff people who decided that they were going to guard their businesses. So what they did was they stood in front of the businesses and they had shovels and brushes and gloves and all this other stuff. And they were saying, we're cleaning up after the riot and we're here. And they were in front of all those burned out cars and a whole bunch of other stuff. And they've decided that what they're going to do is they're going to stand guard and that's it. That they're going to try to calm things down their own way. So while Twitter is being used to ignite the gangs, it's also being used to help in this effort of let's promote calm. So that's what's happening. They're praying. They're standing in the streets. They're trying to fight back and block the businesses. And I'm telling you, a lot of cars were set on fire. And there are other suburbs, other parts of the city. There's Camden where they're trying to do that. And they've set up websites. They call it Riot Cleanup. And people are going to the websites to figure out where they can help. So there's a solidarity on the other side of this thing, too, because the police are beyond themselves trying to figure out how they can stop this. Not that they're not out there, but what happens is it moves to some other section of the city, some other suburb, and there's no one there. There's no cops there. There's no fire trucks there. And so it's easy pickings. And the stores especially are being wiped out. I mean, just completely wiped out. It's got to be unbelievably disheartening to see this happening. And some of these areas are really, you know, nice, normal, suburban areas. You know, imagine if that were happening in the United States. Would there be a chain reaction in your neighborhood if something similar were to happen? And, of course, the answer is, we have a way to protect ourselves in the United States, and in many of the states, you certainly could fight back fight fire with fire versus what's happening in London. And then, of course, in the suburbs, breaking it down, the individual police forces, not that they don't have that in England, they do, but they're just stretched beyond belief. The fires especially have become the major distraction because they have to go to one scene and there simply isn't enough to get them to go to the other spot. There's not enough people to stretch it. So they're stuck. And how long does this continue to go on? It's very scary to watch it. It's very scary to see it. I mean, this is radio. In fact, I think we have a little bit of what it sounds like. If we've got that, Matt, roll that so people can hear. This is kind of what we're going to let you hear it in a second, but it is actual sounds from the riots. And if you've never been stuck in the middle of a riot, and I hope you haven't, then the chaos that ensues, that's very scary. Very, very scary when that happens. Take a listen. So you can tell they're looting. You hear the glass. All that being kicked aside and things being thrown. Right now you're in the middle of the riot. You hear it? Screams in the distance. Store windows being smashed. People grabbing everything in sight. Picture for a second if this was the United States of America and that was happening. Did you hear that, all the people yelling at the end? I worked in the central coast of California in television news, and they had a riot at the Cal Poly campus. And this was kind of one of those riots where things got crazy, and somebody set a car on fire, and things were being thrown, and we were in the middle of it, and it was scary. There was another time in my life where I was in the middle of that, too, and it was in Chihuahua, Mexico, and it was over the elections. The PRI and the Panista parties, they were trying to elect a governor, and they were stuffing the ballot boxes. So chaos ensued, and it felt very much like a riot. Of course, people weren't looting stores, and they weren't throwing bottles like they were in the college riot that I was in the middle of. But there's nobody, I mean, no one can really help you. When things are being thrown and stuff is happening, you're ducking, you're trying to just get out of the way. And this is what's happening all over and around London. That people are, you know, are trying to get out of the way of the gangs. They're trying to get home. They're trying to get away from it. They don't want to be in the middle of it, of course, because how are they, you know, ultimately, how are they fighting back? All right, speaking of fighting back, we told you about this story. Here's a little bit of a follow-up to it. Remember the siblings, the daughter and the two sons who were on the loose after robbing a bank. And apparently, you know, it is like a Bonnie and Clyde, only it's this whole family of these three. They are accused of shooting a police officer in Florida, robbing a bank in Georgia. They're on the loose. The FBI lists them as extremely dangerous. A sheriff who's encountered them says they're extremely dangerous because it's a no-holds-barred a situation with them. And the sheriff in Tampa is hoping they survive because he wants to get his hands on them. So now this sheriff has kind of made the rounds and he's gotten a little bit of national attention in talking about them. His name is Sheriff Chris Noko. And here's what he had to say about the three that are out there in their 20s floating around and to be careful with them.
These are three violent fugitives that are willing to shoot at law enforcement. Probably they were trying to intend to kill us. Or in the bank robbery in Valdosta, they have no fear of shooting anybody. She was carrying a Uzi in her hand, and she had her finger on the trigger. We know they are trained in these weapons. They're not afraid to use them, and they are extremely dangerous.
Yeah, how scary is that? You heard he said she had her finger on the trigger. And you look at photographs of the three, and they don't look like they could do this. They just look like anybody else out at a bar watching a game, partying, to be honest with you. They started the hunt for them, meaning the law did, back on August 2nd. And what happened was a cop tried to pull them over for speeding. It ended up that there was a huge chase, speeds up to 100 miles an hour. Two people in the car squeezed off about 20 gunshots. A bullet hit the patrol car's front tire, and they got away. The officer there wasn't injured. Then a few hours later, 210 miles north of Interstate 75, three people wearing masks went into a bank in Valdosta, Georgia. One of the robbers had an AK-47 assault rifle. I think it's the girl. Another that was photographed was waving a machine pistol, they say. They fired shots into the ceiling. They left with money in a white sedan. So now they found the mother, and the mother says, "I love all my children very much." Great. And although they've done some very bad things, no one's been physically injured yet. I would encourage my children to turn themselves in. I don't think they're going to do it. So there's photos of them. You might have seen them in your area, depending on where you're listening to me, on electronic billboards across the southeast. 21-year-old Ryan Daugherty, 26-year-old Dylan Daugherty, and 29-year-old Lee Daugherty. That's who they are, and they think they might be involved in, who knows, even a few other cases. But they're bad and they're bold. They obviously don't care that they're being hunted down. They're willing to take a chance. They're willing to take the risks. By the way, how'd they get the AK-47 assault rifle? They say at a pawn shop a couple of years ago. How about that? Coming up on the flip side, we got a little odds and ends.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market is in for another crash. Real estate is already in a double-dip recession, and if you want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed, I said enough is enough. I searched and discovered a way to safely grow my money, participate in potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Plus, it could save you thousands in taxes. I want you to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Call 1-800-675-1640 right now to get your free copy. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. 1640. I'm giving away a limited number of copies today, so call 1-800-675-1640.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I found from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep
him. Here's one of my segments that we like to call here on America Tonight, Odds and Ends. Why? Because there are a lot of odd things that happen and a lot of ends that just are loose and never seem to get tied up. Here's one that did get tied up, at least temporarily. The Democrats didn't do what they thought they were going to do. They were trying to gain control of the Wisconsin State Senate, but the Republican incumbents won 4 of the 6 recall elections. So that was a big setback, actually, for the Democrats, with a lot of the progressive groups who thought that they were fighting the good fight, and they were, and organized labor. They were looking at this as some retribution against some of Governor Scott Walker's pals, who earlier in the year had, remember, the labor law overhaul. It was the fight over the unions that ended collective bargaining rights for a lot of public sector workers. That's it in a nutshell. The recall elections, it shows you, though, the amount of people that had an opinion on this and wanted to vote. The recall elections attracted millions of dollars of investment from, of course, liberals and conservatives everywhere across the nation, not just in Wisconsin. And the turnout was pretty big. We don't have the exact numbers, but I've heard that the turnout was pretty big. And some of the elections came down to the wire. There were some seats that were definitely at risk, but ultimately, for example, one of them, Alberta Darling, was one of the senators, right? And in 2008, she won her district by just over 1,000 votes out of more than 99,000 votes, and her district went for Barack Obama in 2008. And, of course, she's a Republican, so she survived this. She survived the duking it out for what's going to happen here and trying to, the Democrats trying to gain the Wisconsin Senate. So with a split in the Wisconsin Senate, 19 Republicans, 14 Democrats, that's how the day started. If you had a turnover, we'll do the math. If you had a turnover of three, it would have changed party control, and that didn't happen. So next week, there's going to be a recall election for two Democratic senators, one who barely won in 2008. So it's interesting to follow what's happening in Wisconsin, and we talk about unions and organized labor and all that stuff. And the Tea Party was very big in on this, on the other side of things, and defending the governor and the decision to end the collective bargaining rights for those unions. We move from that to something that some people thought was appalling when Steve Williams, the former caddy of Tiger Woods, who was with Tiger Woods when he won countless tournaments and majors. I mean, he must have amassed certainly a fortune on the bag of Tiger Woods, because the caddy gets a 10% cut and then, you know, whatever else they might get from the golfer. But Tiger Woods unceremoniously dumped his caddy by a phone call, apparently. So he ended up caddying for Adam Scott. That's the new guy, who's a hot golfer, by the way, on the PGA Tour. He won last week on the PGA Tour stop. And afterwards, one of the interviews was Steve Williams talking about this was the best day of his life ever in the history of golf and how excited he was. You know, this was his best moment ever, which was a dig at Tiger Woods, since he had won many majors, been on the bag of Tiger Woods for many, many majors. So to wrap this whole thing up, a couple of golfers sounded off, including Luke Donald, who said there was definitely Steve Williams maybe went too far overboard with what he said. Then there's Lee Westwood, who said, why was this guy interviewed in the first place? And then finally, Adam Scott himself talks about the fact that anything connected to Tiger, in his opinion, because he defended Williams, is just blown out of proportion. So take a listen.
I think Stevie was given the opportunity to talk, and he had every right to say what he wanted to say. The only probably disappointing, I think, thing that I found personally from it was there was no talk of, you know, how pleased he was about Adam winning.
It's blatantly obvious that he's a fantastic caddy, and, you know, because he's won with all different kinds of players, so you know, I just didn't see the point in putting him on TV.
I certainly don't think that was his intention to steal my moment at all, but you know, he was, you know, asked these questions and he gave his honest answer, I assume. And you know, with a lot of things to do with anything related to Tiger Woods, it's all, you know, scrutinized and blown out of proportion a lot of the time, I think. So this is no different.
Yeah, and that's true. Things are definitely scrutinized with Tiger Woods. So Adam Scott, the happy-go-lucky Australian, as he's been described as, had a 5-under par final round, if you remember, at the tail end of last week. I think we mentioned it. He had a 65, so he had a 4-stroke win in the end at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. That was in Ohio. And Steve Williams is permanently on his bag. He led by a shot going into the final round and then really came out of this. And Scott is an impressive golfer, and we'll see where he goes from there. And it's true with the experience that Williams has, it certainly doesn't hurt. Matt, what did you think about that? Did you think Williams was wrong to say what he said, or what did you think? Did you think that, hey, they interviewed him and he said what he thought and he wanted to get a little jab in about Tiger? Because there's no doubt that he was jabbing Tiger. He didn't say that, and he didn't even mention him, but it was pretty obvious when he said it was his best win ever that that's what it was. That's what he was doing.
I think there are two people at fault. Well, two groups at fault in this story, and that is Williams. He definitely shouldn't have really said all that, in my opinion, because you win one not even major with this guy, and it's the best week of your life.
Yeah.
I don't really think that's true at all. So I think he's trying to get a little jab in there. But then also, why I was actually watching this live, and I was thinking to myself, why are we interviewing the caddy? Why? No one cares about what the caddy thinks. And then also afterwards, Jim Nantz just gets all over it, fishing for a story. He's like, ooh, this is going to be talked about all week, and just kind of throws it out there. And I just don't understand why they were interviewing in the first place. It seems to me like CBS was just kind of fishing for some publicity.
Yeah, I agree with you. They drummed this up by interviewing him in the first place, and then Nance's reaction, you're right. It was a perfect way to, because controversy sells, and that's part of the conversation. And there was, especially with Sports Talk Radio, a lot of people that were saying, this is just another Tiger thing, and look, he dumps him, and sure, you know, all that stuff. But why do you even go to the caddy unless you're trying to stir the pot? So CBS was the swizzle stick once again. It kind of in a different way. If we go back with CBS, I remember being at the Super Bowl in Houston. And at the Super Bowl, you'll remember, the halftime show was very big. Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, when he removed a piece of her clothing and then, boom, her breast is on TV. And, everybody gets fined and it's a disaster and CBS apologizes. They fall over themselves. But CBS has never gotten so many mentions. You know that old saying about publicity? It doesn't matter if it's bad or it's good because somebody's talking about you. So I always wondered that.
Any press is good press.
Yeah, any press is good press. CBS didn't set that up, but boy, they rode that to the bitter end.
They interviewed the caddy. I mean, they set it up and interviewed the caddy, which has, I can't even recall a time where another caddy has ever been interviewed. Maybe like after some amazing major win, but this is some minor little tournament. And they're interviewing the caddy afterwards.
I agree. And so then, of course, Woods is asked about it. And, you know, he just said it was time for a change. And he felt that Stevie and I have had an amazing run. He's an amazing caddy. He helped my career. I helped his. We won a bunch of tournaments. But I felt like it was time to change things up a bit. I've moved on. And, you know, his new caddy would be someone who can handle the spotlight. And the vacancy had plenty of applicants and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he's got somebody in mind, or he's going to find somebody. He just kind of played it off. That's it. I mean, what's he going to say to that? If anything, Tiger Woods is trying to stay out of anything controversial because he's already been through the whole paparazzi thing. He's not looking to get back in that bin again. He just wants to stay away from it. That's what that's about. All right, I said this was odds and ends, and when we talk about odds and ends, here's another one that we haven't had much conversation about lately, but made big headlines and was kind of one of those curiosity things. And I think the guy's just a sycophant, and he did whatever Michael Jackson wanted him to do. So now there's no Michael Jackson to defend him, but attorneys for the doctor who was treating Michael Jackson are on deadline. The guys defending him, Dr. Conrad Murray, have been ordered to hand over to prosecutors all the statements and reports gathered from defense witnesses. They're kind of stalling there because they're in this discovery thing. The trial, is set to start. So this is 2009. When Jackson died, and they're ready to roll this thing out. And I think Dr. Murray is going to be in some real hot water.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. All other whey proteins are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is now the standard by which all other whey protein powders can be measured. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Take the first step in home security. Install the Door Sentinel. Standard locks, deadbolts, and security systems can't prevent forced entry. The Door Sentinel provides door kick-in protection and can be added to your existing security system. The Door Sentinel is easy to install and will turn your home into a fortress. Make the call. 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Or visit them at SENTINEL securitygroup.com. SentinelSecurityGroup.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Question: can functional magnetic resonance imaging be used to read our minds? Author Jose Collazo answers yes in his two new books, America's New Slavery. For more than 13 years, author Jose Collazo has been trying to prove that the U.S. government has the capacity to read a person's thoughts with a revolutionary technology known as fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and there is proof that it exists. America's New Slavery explores this technology and its many possible applications in national security. Who has access to it? How is it being used? Does America's salvation rest in this technology? These and many other questions are answered in America's New Slavery, the new books by Jose Collazo, available on BN.com, Amazon.com, and Borders.com. America's New Slavery. All Americans should be concerned.
Yes, time for another edition of We Can Count. Keep in mind, it's all about the numbers when we say we can count. Here's a good one for you. How about this? Can you imagine an aircraft that goes from 0 to 13,000 just like that? I mean, that is breakneck speed. There is an unmanned aircraft that can travel that kind of speed. That's 20 times the speed of sound. It's going to take off Wednesday from an Air Force base in California for a test flight. Boy, that'd be fun to cover that. It's the Falcon HTV-2, and I saw a picture of it. It's shaped like kind of like an arrow, and it launches on a rocket, separates, then glides at what they're calling hypersonic speeds of 13,000 miles per hour through the Earth's atmosphere. So think about that. Try to wrap your brain around that. I guess they say it would take less than 12 minutes to fly from New York to Los Angeles. Woo! I think I'm going to go coast to coast in 12 minutes. Not even time to order a drink or get my soda. They don't have to serve me on this flight. Are you kidding? Too bad you couldn't sit on that flight, but that's pretty amazing. It's the second flight for the Falcon, and the other flight happened in April of last year. It flew for 9 minutes, and the military's research arm said that included 130 seconds of Mach 22, the Mach 17, and the goal is to try to see, you know, if they can duplicate it, if they can replicate it on the ground, if there's a way to do that. I think that's pretty interesting. It'd be fun to see that launch, no doubt about that. All right, moving on to something else. Again, dealing with numbers, that's the key thing here. And we can count. And, you know, our world is about numbers. Look around. Often on this show, we're talking about that. If it's numbers of people, from riders to positive things, this, unfortunately, I guess, because of everything else that's happening, this has kind of gotten lost in the reports. But it seems like I haven't said anything lately about Mother Nature, but usually I'm talking about the destruction and things that happen thanks to tropical storms or hurricanes or whatever. And we're supposed to have a rough hurricane season, and we're coming through the eye of that, if you will. But a tropical storm, Mipha, killed about 10 people, and they say damaged 2,400 acres of farmland. It hit landfall in North Korea, and that's what happened. I was looking at some of the waves. Had about 100 homes that were slammed, and they had power lines that collapsed and that kind of stuff. They say the storm caused $466 million in damage. That's pretty significant, isn't it? And it made landfall in North Korea as a typhoon on Monday. So the gusts of wind were off the charts, and the heavy rain certainly was, too. Four people died. Two others were missing in Seoul, South Korea, when the storm passed there. So it just whipped through and left a path of destruction along with it. And, man, sadly, that's what happens with these tropical storms sometimes. And then, as we all know, hurricanes as well. We've seen what's happened on the Gulf Coast, in Florida, in the Carolinas. Sometimes it just depends. Here's a big one. Polygamist leader Warren Jeffs, I don't know if he really thought that he was going to get away with this, but he didn't. He was sentenced to life in prison for sexually assaulting two underage girls that he said he was spiritually married to. One was 12 years old at the time. The other was 15. The evidence in the case was incredible, what they had stacked against him. And when the jury, I think, heard some really graphic things, that was it. There was no way they weren't going to throw the book at him, and that's what happened. They had DNA evidence to show that he fathered a kid with a 15-year-old. They played an audio recording of what he was saying while he was assaulting a 12-year-old girl. So they had more than enough. And, of course, he was doing kooky things because he was representing himself in court just to add to the circus-like atmosphere of the whole thing. And at one point, he was asking to be excused. He was protesting during the sentencing phase. And it ended Tuesday. He refused to answer when the judge asked if he wanted to make a closing statement. And, of course, what is he going to say? He's done. He's toast. He's in prison. And it's very, I think it's very telling what was written in one of his thousands of pages of notes that they found, along with the audio stuff that was found in his Texas ranch, right? The FBI found it. One of the things that he wrote was, if the world knew what I was doing, they would hang me from the highest tree. Oh, yes. Now he can live that in prison. Just sickening. Supposedly he had 78 wives. And this ranch in West Texas, which still exists, you have, you know, women dressed in kind of frontier-style dresses and hairdos from the 19th century, you know, what that looks like. And lots of underage girls who were clearly, many of the pictures you could see, were pregnant. So Jeffs was nailed, and he's the eighth FLDS guy to be convicted since the raid on that ranch, Yearning for Zion. And if you're trying to figure out where is this ranch, 45 miles south of San Angelo, Texas, and it was established there, the compound, in 2004. But Jeffs was facing criminal charges in Arizona, and he was convicted of accessory to rape in Utah. And so he decided to bolt after that, and then eventually they caught him. Izzy's listening to us in Missouri. Hey, Izzy.
Okay. First off, I agree with your stand on Afghanistan. We should quietly and quickly gather up all our equipment and boogie out.
Yeah.
End of discussion.
Yep.
Just get the hell out. Why are we there? No.
Yep.
Absolutely no sense. The other thing I want to ask you, when Mark was on, did he said John Loftus the book Nazi Secret?
Yes.
Okay, because I pulled up Amazon. I was getting ready to order, and I said, okay, what was the title of the book? Because there's several here.
Actually, I heard that was pretty good. I didn't read it myself, but I've heard it was, I heard it is a pretty good book.
Well, it's there, and I'm just waiting to click.
All right, there you go.
Anyway, I wanted to bring something up, and I know you haven't talked about it, but I just wanted to bring it up. And to me, it was just like Providence. Tonight I got a phone call about the Wisconsin election.
Yeah.
And a very sweet little gal named Angela was talking to me, and we were just chit-chatting. Boy, and she's out in Arizona. But, boy, they're, you know, running it for Governor Walker.
Yeah.
And thank God for Republican state. That's all I can say. Anyway, she was telling about her daughter, little tiny child. She's 5 years old, but she's no bigger than a minute, I guess. Got a flu shot and went into seizures.
Oh.
Bad, bad seizures.
Oh.
And which is a side effect of this, and I apologize. She mentioned it, but I didn't write it down. But I did get her email. And evidently there are other children out there, and I have her information as far as her name, and I don't want to give it out publicly, but her email. But evidently that is a side effect, but some children are born with an extra little pocket of some sort of a chemical next to the brainstem.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have, and it is absorbed over time, but if they have that, seizures can be life-threatening from this flu shot. Anyway, the daughter went into a series of seizures over a several-day period, and they had to induce a coma. And, yeah, it was pretty frightening. And, of course, the daughter...
Boy, no kidding. You need to send me her information. That'd be great. Send it through the website, americatonight.net. We've talked about that before. It's like the vaccination thing, whether you should get a flu shot, whether you should get vaccinated for certain things. There's been debates about that. Because there are things that certain children react to, and that sounds exactly like what has happened there. Thanks for the call, Iz. All right, I'm going to leave you with at least one decent one-liner. Try this one. The first rule of holes, if you are in one, stop digging.